It feels like 108, and we're under a tornado warning, and it's, you know, supposed to come like between 8 and 11 tonight. So I want to get right to it. I want to talk about prayer, and I want to talk about the benefits of prayer in salvation. So I want to read our text together. And this is, guess where? Ephesians 6. And we've been studying about the benefits of salvation, and I don't know if you've got your notes. We're going to read this scripture together, and we're going to start at verse 18 and 19, and this is out of the Passion Translation. And the reason I want to read this is because prayer is the thing that keeps the armor in place, the armor of God. And if you're not a person of prayer, you are not doing yourself a favor. You're not doing anybody else a favor. And so we're going to look at this real quick, and we're going to read it. Embrace the power of salvation, like the helmet to protect your thoughts from lies, and take the mighty razor-sharp sword of the Spirit, the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the Spirit. That word passionately means with all our desires. Lois, it's so good to see you. Glad you're home. Pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all his believers, and pray also that God's revelation would be released through me every time I preach the wonderful mystery of the hope-filled gospel. Yes, pray that I may preach the wonderful news of God's kingdom with bold freedom at every opportunity. Even though I'm chained as a prisoner, I am his ambassador. What a beautiful way to look at something. Instead of trials and tribulations, everything that happens to me, I'm an ambassador. So tonight, to begin, I've asked a couple of people to come and just give you a testimony about what prayer means to them. That can be how they pray, what the Spirit's done, a testimony of when they pray. But for those of you who don't know, Christine Merle has fought through many surgeries and pain every day. And yet, here's a woman who loves to lift her hands and worship the Lord. And that's her greatest frustration with her sickness, is being able to lift her hands and worship. And there are times when God sends that anointing on her and she can just flow right through. But Christine, if you'd come, I'd like for you to share with everybody. And you need to know that this is an intercessor. This is what an intercessor looks like. When you look in the mirror in the morning, that's what an intercessor looks like, okay?
Hi. I have three things that I want to share with you. Yes, my surgeries. Yes, I'm a praiser, I'm a worshiper, and I love to praise the Lord. And my biggest setback when I was going through that trial was that I could not do it. I was despondent to God. I wouldn't reply to him. I wouldn't talk to him because I was mad. But what my look at what it should be is not what his look should be. So, you know, I had to walk through that many a times. I wouldn't even talk to anybody here because I needed to keep my peace, and I didn't want to hear any negativity, and I didn't want to hear anything that I knew was going to happen, but I couldn't feel it. So I just stayed away from everybody. But I'm telling you right now, God is my witnesses. If you see me every Sunday, I'm over there praising. If I'm not, I'm standing up against the wall so that I can have relief and stand and praise him. It's honoring to me to be able to worship our Savior. He's the one I love more than anything. Another thing I want to share with you is when I was younger, my dad was an alcoholic and a drug addict. He was very abusive to my mom and to us. And I'm going to tell you right now, I prayed, and that prayer did not turn out how I thought it was going to turn out, because I kept asking him, save my dad, because I want a dad. I want to know what it's like to have a dad that everybody else has. My cousins, all my friends had their dads. They loved their dads. Their dads did all kinds of stuff with them. My dad didn't. So I asked God, and every time I asked him, I would ask him and praise and worship him, and I would tell him, please, Lord, let me have my father. Please change him, even in this elder age that I'm at. Please change him. One Sunday I came here, and I was fighting to get here. Nobody wanted to come with me, and it was a special night of prayer and praise with another church. Well, I didn't sit with our group of people. I went and sat with them. I wanted to be by them. I wanted to feel that spirit. So I wanted to be by somebody different. So I sat by them, and what the Lord told me was this. I sat there and cried the whole time while they were ministering and praising. And I cried, and these people were sitting next to me, and they were just looking at me. And I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm not going to stop praising you. But what he told me during that time of praise, because he speaks to you. Even when you're doing something else, he's speaking to you. And what he told me was this. He says, I'm your daddy. I'm the one that's going to provide for you. I'm the one that's going to love you that no dad can on earth. And he says, and I gave you that dad for a reason. He says, because it made you who you are today, to love in spite of that. And I'm grateful because he has been my dad. He has shown me the way to go. He has been a positive speaker to me constantly. When I needed him, I could go to him and talk with him. I could sit with him at his feet and just cry if I wanted to. And I enjoy that. I enjoy being able to do that. I never would have been able to do that with my dad. Never. Because my dad was too busy in his own thoughts of himself and not wanting to share anything but himself. He wanted everything for himself. And another thing I'd like to share with you is this. That it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how little or small your prayer is. He's listening. He is listening to every little detail. Even if it's just a thought in your head, he knows it. The enemy doesn't know it, but he knows it. You only hear, he only hears what's in your, well, he hears what's in your thoughts. The enemy only hears what you speak. That's what he hears. So if you're speaking it, speaking negativity, and I'm asking God to help me not to do that and to change my ways and things, I'm still learning. And I know I'll continue to learn, but that's one thing I do. I do love to intercede for other people. So as God drops people's in your, names in your heart, or if you feel an anointing coming on you, that you feel like you don't know what it is, but you know there's something going on, sit down, take time to talk to him, praise him till he pulls you through it and lets you hear him. Let him speak to you to be able to speak it out, because we all have that in us. It's up to us to receive it. Everything we have, he has already given us. We need to claim that victory and take it and receive it. Just like he was saying up here on the platform, receive it. You have to receive it. And I'm telling you, anytime y'all want prayer and y'all think I don't know, just come to me and I don't care. You don't have to tell me. I'll pray for you. I don't mind doing that. I love praising the Lord and talking to him about other people. I like sharing testimonies to other people, but I don't share it that often. I hold back, and that's where I'm trying to ask God to help me not to do that. But I'm grateful that we are all here and that he is our Lord and Savior. He is our Daddy God that will provide every need we need met. I'm so grateful. And I thank you for hearing what I had to say. Don't hesitate to ask for me. If you need my number, call me.
Well, they have to get the number to call you, but we will take care of that. Yes, that was beautiful, Christine. Thank you. Cynthia Smith, you want to come and share with us, my love?
Did y'all see me walk? Girl, you better stop. Well, mine is the opposite of Christine. My mother was manic depressive, and I was the father, the mother of our household. I resented it because I did not have a childhood. What I was doing was listening to my crazy mama that had been into the mental institution, pray for her 14 children, call them all by names in her crazy mind. Ain't God good? He good. I had a grandmother that was an Indian preacher, mean, mean. I'm telling you, she spoke Holy Ghost fire She spoke it till it scared you to death if you didn't get the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. So I got the Holy Ghost because I didn't want to go to hell and burn. So I just like thank God that I had a grandmother that's made me speak in tongues. Then I was forced to sleep with a mother that prayed, even though the doctor said she was incompetent, with 14 children and call them all by name. Didn't call them Cynthia, but she called Cynthia Verlies Bishop. She knew my whole name despite her sickness. I love that about God. You can say, let me say, the doctors say that you have this and you have that and you're not going to get no better. But hey, we got a doctor, Jesus, blood shed on the cross that has sent healing to every one of us. So the doctors can say what they want to say, but they don't have the final say. Only Jesus has the final say, and my God, because he paid the price at Calvary. That's the first thing. The second thing I'm so thankful about that I thought was going to kill me, I thought I was going to literally die because I didn't have a mother to love me. Never said she loved me, just do this, do that. She was sick all the time. Well, I have a sister that was 10 years older than me. She became my mother as we grew up. She took care of the seven when my mother had the first nervous breakdown. I took care of the three after she had the second one. And when she had the third one, at 15 years of age, I had her committed to the mental institution. Tell me that won't do something for your mind, okay? Anyway, Lily became my mother. She became the Holy Ghost spitting image of my grandmother, except for she didn't send you to hell. She loved you. And when she died, I called Gay Van Zandt. I said, Gay, Lily died this morning. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't make it through. She said, yeah. I said, no, I can't. She kept talking. I said, no, I can't, Gay. You just don't understand. She kept talking. I said, I already prayed, Gay. She can't. She said, well, I'm going to pray for her. I said, you pray if you want to. I was in my closet. I was so mad at God. He done took my mother, them, Lily. And I done went through two husbands that didn't like me. Raised two kids by myself, four. And then there's Lily. So I went on in my closet, Gay prayed, I let her pray. I listened to the phone, put it up to my ear, let her pray in my prayer closet. I goes in my prayer closet to pray. I have a prayer closet. It's literally a prayer closet. And I went in there in case God didn't hear me the first time when I prayed before I called Gay to help me, in case he didn't hear me. I called her, then went in the prayer closet to make sure he heard me because I was in the prayer closet. You know, that really don't make no difference because he's God. I'm not present everywhere, you know, you go. So I prayed and I prayed and it's going to be different. I said, huh? I was crying so hard. She said, this time, thank you, baby. It's going to be different. I said, huh? I said, how? She said, God's going to get you through that. I said, okay. Kept crying. Okay, okay, okay. So, you know, I went on through that and a couple of days later, we went on to the funeral, come on back. I tried my best to get depressed and cry because Lily was gone. But the prayer of faith wouldn't let me. Hallelujah. So I went on. Hallelujah. By 3 weeks. You know, and what I did was I put a picture out in front of me so I could see it every day. And I touched that picture and I said, Sister, God's really helping me. I'm not crying over you. Aren't you happy? I touch a picture and talk to her. And they're like, God. So I was in the shower one day, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, I was just praising, praising, praising. I was thanking him. I was praising him. After a while, I started praising him. Thank you, Lord, you took Lily so I could have you. And I kept saying it louder and louder. Thank you, God, you took Lily so I could have you. Because I was codependent on my sister, you know, for stuff. Thank you. And the more I said it, the happier I got. I mean, I shouted and danced in that tub. And I said, really? He took Lily so he could be to me all that I thought she was and more. And I'm telling you, he took her, and I wrote it down. I brought it to Gay and showed it. I said, well, let me write this down, what God got. And I brought it, and I showed it. And I thought, wow, God took something that I love so much that I just thought I had to have, and he gave me him. He stepped inside of my heart and my mind and my spirit. I've not been the same since. I mean, I've not been depressed. I've not cried over her. I've testified over, tell people, you know, my sister died, and I loved her so much, and God got me through it. What'd you do? I said, I prayed. People don't believe that. No, they don't believe when you pray. Thank you. They don't believe when you pray stuff gonna change. Don't pray if you don't want stuff to change, okay? If you want stuff to change, pray! Pray sincere. God Almighty will help you. He'll get you through it. And be honest. You ain't got to pray, our Father who art in heaven, Lord, be done. She could have my shot on. All you got to say is, Lord, help me. God, help me. God, help me. Help me, oh God. Help me, oh God. And he is there. He hears the prayers of the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. So any of us here, he ain't going to do it just for Cynthia Smith, y'all. He's so good. Y'all are his children. Unlimited. Bought with a price. Adoption of Jesus Christ. Joint heirs. So just don't think that it's just for me, just for Christine, and whoever. It's for everybody. He's a good God. He's a faithful God like that. He's a mighty God. And I thank him and I praise him for everything, provision for me. Provision, provision. You know, they told me when my sister died, let me take out this and I'm going to sit down. These good folks at work that I work for, when I couldn't go back to work, you use all your PTO. First thing they said, well, you won't get paid. And I said, okay, but I can't come to work right now. Well, that's okay. We just want you to know that you won't get paid, Miss Cynthia. That's all right. I just can't come to work right now. I tell you what, that same week they told me I couldn't get paid, God had already put a check in the mail from different people from my paycheck. The same paycheck had overlapped. Then the next one, we got an extra one for that month. You tell me God ain't a provider. He provide. I don't care what man say. You see my new glasses? I fell at work. Y'all know I got vertigo, don't you? I'm going to sit down in a minute. Y'all know I got vertigo. And I gets dizzy and passes out and stuff a lot at work. Well, 2 weeks ago, it's almost been three, I got sick at work, and I was trying to go get my medicine, my cell phone, and I got halfway up the aisle and fell down and hit a pallet of water and broke my glasses. They let me know, too, I wasn't going to get paid for that, too. Take your time. Anyhow, the week before that, my car broke. The week before that, the kids went into drama. It was bang, bang. It was drama. That's all it is drama. I can't even get involved. Don't come tell me drama because I'm not going to listen to it. It's not good for my spirit, man. I don't have time for it. And I don't listen to, they don't call mama, you know. Anyhow, because I'm going to pray for them. They do not want me to pray for them. Anyhow, got my, God provided, got my car fixed, 00. Got my glasses fixed, 00, and extra money. You tell me my God ain't good.
Amen.
Good God.
Amen. We're going to look at this tonight. We're going to talk about the things in our benefits of salvation. I want you to know the first thing we're going to talk about, because I want to get it over with, is the enemy. You have an enemy, and he does not want you to pray. And Satan will do anything to keep you from prayer. There was a man named John Cowper, and he said this, or excuse me, William. He said, "And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees." See, he didn't want you praying. He didn't want you getting whole in your mind. He didn't want your mind to be healed to where you start believing what he says over the circumstances that are around you, over the loud voices that are saying you're going to be destroyed. This is it. This is the time. So what he does, he comes in and he does these things. And you can write these down on your little card and look them up later. They'll go along with this if you want to put it on your notes. But the first thing he's going to do is he's going to bring things in your way. You know, I'm going to pray today. I know I need to pray. Right now, you're feeling it. You hear it. Your spirit man's encouraged. And you're going to walk out that door, and the flesh man's going to start taking over. Unless you say, I'm going to make the conscious effort, on purpose effort, to keep my spirit in tune. And so the first thing he's going to do, he's going to bring in things. I'm going to pray. Well, all of a sudden, your cell phone's going to die. And then, oh, you know what? Let me just charge that if somebody needs me. And you'll go in to charge that cell phone, and before you know it, something pops up, a text or something, and you just get busy on that phone. And you forget about prayer. Or how about somebody calls and they need a ride, and so that time you'd set aside, you're just like, well, you know, I need to handle this. I'm going to go ahead and do this now. He's good about that. Or the baby will start crying. When my kids were little, I said one time to Leah, I guess she was about 4 or 5, and Charity was 7 or 8, and I said, listen, I said, this lady is in crisis. Gave them both a cookie and set them down on the couch. Well, the next day, Leah had trouble, and she came in there, and she's crying. She said, I am in a crisis. I am in a crisis. Because she recognized that meant full attention. And you know, the enemy will send you those things, any little thing to keep you from getting to where you need to pray. And what I appreciate about the testimony of both these women is this. Listen, you don't have to be on your knees for God to hear you. Did you ever lay in a bed paralyzed with fear after a dream or the thoughts about what the enemy was going to do to you came on you? Have you ever done that? Yes. And that's the thing that you do. You just begin to say, that's the reason I'm going to press in and not check out. I'm going to press in here. Then he'll bring these thoughts to you. Maybe they'll sound familiar. You know, I'm going to pray, but, well, you know, prayer, that doesn't work. Has that really ever worked? Where would Cynthia, where would we be today without her in our lives if she had said, well, it's been 15 years and nothing's changed. Well, it's been 30 years and nothing's changed. What if Christine said, God, you didn't answer that prayer the way I wanted it. I'm going to quit interceding for those people at the church. Because, see, a lot of people wait for somebody else to intercede for them. And this message tonight is to tell you, wake up and start praying. It's a benefit of your salvation. Here's the thing. If you had an insurance policy, and it's this thick, and some of them are, and you don't know the benefits in it, you're going to be missing out and paying for things that are already covered because somebody bought you that insurance policy and handed it to you. But if we don't know to cry out to my insurance agent, the Holy Spirit, I am just drowning in this. Oh, flood control, 472, paragraph 3, section A, you're covered. And to release that fear. But the enemy's going to tell you that nobody cares anyway. They cared. Why aren't they over here? Because he wants you to internalize it. Well, you know, going to church is enough. Hadn't you paid your dues? Cynthia, Christine, hadn't you, you know, y'all are cute, but you're over 50. All I'm saying is, you know, 50 years, isn't that enough? Shouldn't I just quit going now and just glide through it? I'm telling you, the time is saying to us, move in and pray. Move in and pray. And then there's just plain old negligence. We are in the flesh. The enemy doesn't have to do a lot for some of us. I'm just saying, I'll raise my hand. But there are times when all you're going to do is just become selfish or lazy. Well, I've already been doing that. God, I've prayed enough. I've whatever it is. And, you know, you don't even realize you're using a thought that the enemy's planted in your mind to react to things on. Or, you know, I work so hard. This is my relaxing time. I'm just going to shut my mind off. If you shut your mind off, I'll guarantee you who's going to take over. We have to make a conscious effort to involve Jesus Christ in our life. And sure, we all deserve a break, but the break we deserve is from the devil, not from the presence of God. And the first thing he's going to do is tell you, hey, you're having to give up a little too much. This prayer thing, man, things start shaking when you start praying. You just quit. Just stop. And there'll be something happen that'll make you want to get in agreement with it. Because he knows that's where the power is, and that's why he's going to be proven to be gone. Because once you start praying and once you start praising, he can't stay with it. He will flee. There's Romans 8, 26, 28 about those things that are just, it's just such a good scripture. We know that it ends up with all things work together. But you have to say to the enemy, I'm not going to believe you. You have to be determined to believe God. There's James 4:3 on being negligent or selfish with how it is. And let me just tell you, you can be praying and be selfish. Lord, you know I've done everything right, God. You know I'm just trying to help people, Lord. Oh, God, you just need to get them. Lord, you see how critical, you see how... And before you know it, you're spewing venom in your prayer. Hey, I want to tell you, God knew it anyway. Probably good for you to get it out. But I want you to be conscious, aware of, hearing what you're saying when you're praying, because we're wasting our time criticizing other people when we need to be praying that the Spirit of God would break people free from criticism, fault-finding, guilt, shame, and condemnation and come to the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. You ever go to a family reunion and there's like two or three people you just avoid at all cost? Right? I don't want to be that person in the kingdom. I want to be that person who's speaking life and giving life. John 17, 15, there's a protection that is due you from God over the evil one. And you need to know that. You need to know that if all you can do is turn on praise music till you can't hear that thought, if you can't speak the word over yourself, all you need to do is get in agreement with something. And just begin to just let the Lord take over. If you can't pray for yourself, I'm telling you, turn on the music, turn on the message, turn on something where you can turn off that voice in your head until you can learn to stand up and say, I'm done with that. And say it out loud. I'm done with that. I'm not going to be critical. I'm not going to fear that I'm going to die. I'm not going to do that. And here's the phrase that I want you to write on the back of that little white card tonight. Expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. Because if you're not believing it, if you're not looking for it, listen, what you believe is what you expect is going to happen. And I need to be believing. This is not a magic trick. This is not turn the hand of God in my favor or against me. I want you to hear me. He says clearly that those who believe, all things are possible. And in Mark 9:23, you have the right to say, but Lord, help my unbelief. He's not going to be mad at you for the thing the devil is telling you he's going to reject you for. He'll heal you. Matthew 26:41 is another one. And Psalms 102:17, Matthew 26:41, Psalm 102:17. Here's the thing. Bring him the sacrifice of praise. See, what we're saying, what you heard, even in those testimonies is, don't be discouraged. There's a time where I'm griping and complaining. I get it. He knew about me. He knew about my flesh. That's why Jesus made the way to reconcile me to the Father, because I'm in this world that has been fallen because of the enemy, not God. He's not bringing evil. He's not even allowing evil. Guess who is? He's already defeated the enemy. My position when I go to prayer and I have to put my mind in agreement with the word and with the truth and say, okay, I've already won this. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I'm scared. I'm finding places, God, in me that. But I want you to know, I'm still just going to stand here in victory with my helmet of salvation on, turning out these lies, because no matter what I see, I still believe you're good. No matter what this voice is saying to me, I still believe that you will have a people who will love you. So, Lord, that's my sacrifice of praise. It's when you're hurting Adam and you say to him, God, I do not understand this, but I love you more than I need an answer today. I just need you to love on me. How many people have ever gotten an explanation? Let me just ask you, Cynthia, did you ever get an explanation from your mother that satisfied and gave you closure over how your life was? Christine, did your father ever bring peace to you and tell you things that you needed to hear so that you could have closure? How many in this room have unresolved things where you're not going to get closure and you know it's not going to come through a human? Raise your hand. And raise your hand now, because the one who can't answer that is wanting to reach into those places and give you the answer. This is a benefit of your salvation, to pour out your hurt, to pour out your fear, to pour out your doubt and not be rejected, but say, I expect a miracle today. And not wait for the prayer list to come out to do it for you. Y'all, I'm all about the prayer list. But we need to be praying for each other. You can't wait on two or three people to do it. We need to all be doing it. And it's very interesting about William Cowper, who said, Satan, what was his quote? And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon their knees. Do you know what he also said? He said, I believe no man was ever scolded out of his sin. See, the enemy scolds you into sin, and we fall in line with it. But God loves us, and the enemy tells us we have a choice and a right, and so we decide if we want to do it or not, because we believe at the end of the day, I can always ask forgiveness, so just let me have my fun now. Well, while you're having your fun, your ankles are being bound with chains. Your heart is being spoken lies to that will penetrate the next situation and the next situation. And your mind is being filled with doubt and fear that God is not who he says he is. That's why he wants to save us from sin. Not because he hates us. Not because he despises us. But because he sees what sin does to the people of God and the agreement that the enemy will set us up for later to believe about ourselves that's a total lie. So while I'm at it, let me just tell you about William Cowper. He lived in the 1700s, and he divorced his first wife with two children to marry another woman, and he told her he had to see her nude before he'd even marry her. And he had four children with her. He had an affair with a woman. She stayed his mistress the rest of his life and had two children with him. And the second wife, when he died just a couple of days later because she loved him so much. So now do you want to take that quote out and go, it's not worthy because of the messenger? I want to tell you, the sin is what makes the messenger valid for the goodness of God. And the thing that the enemy wants you to hate about yourself is the thing that is your testimony to prove the goodness of God and to say, he has redeemed me. So we don't want to neglect our benefits because they're to die for. This is your main thought for tonight. The most important result of prayer is a change in me. 1 Chronicles 16:11. The most important result of prayer is a change in me. You don't think you have courage? He'll give you courage. You don't think you can hold your tongue? He'll help you hold your tongue. You don't think you need him? He'll love you enough to let you get the biggest dose of what you think is going to supply your need, so you'll be disappointed and recognize, I need him. Not because he's mean, but because he lets you choose. We need to ask God to teach us to pray so that our desires become his. 1 John 5:14-15. God, I just want you to teach me how to pray so that my heart, he says, you said you'd give me the desires of my heart. Guys, God is not going to give you the desires of your heart if they're in line with the enemy. How many young people thought that they were in love at 14 or 15 enough to give their bodies and their futures to a person and then later recognize, I didn't know what I was doing. I was taken advantage of. But a parent would say, no, no, no. Oh, you're mean, you're hateful, you're keeping me. We're teenagers with God. We're in rebellion to him. We need to say to him, God, I need you to change my heart about this because I want what's best for my family, but I'm so angry. And I know you can't use that. So I'm coming to you tonight, God, and I'm asking you to heal the brokenness in me that is angry. Guys, anger with God will keep you from going into his throne room because we bought so many subtle lies about how horrible God is, and that is a lie. It will always be a lie, and anything that approaches it needs to be exposed as a lie. And then you can say, God, I'm just having a hard time here. I'm kind of doubting you. He's not going to reject you for that. If a natural parent doesn't reject a child who can look him in the face and say, I hate you, why would God, when you just tell him what he already knows? Don't neglect this benefit to reveal any places where the culture or our contacts have taken over priority from him. It has weakened our belief. Excuse me. This is the number one thing I want you to hear me on tonight. Because prayer is going to change me. I'm asking you tonight to look inside your heart and say, guys, the armor of God is worthless. You can put on all the exterior, whatever you want. You can walk in fake faith. I see it all the time. But I want you to know, unless you're praying, unless you're hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying, you'll never know how to use the armor. Because there's a time to reserve your energy, and there's a time to use it. And only the commander-in-chief can say, charge ahead or be still. That is with Ephesians 1:8. That is with Ephesians 6:18. And that is with Romans 12:2. And here's the thing that he said to me about prayer this week. God loves me enough to show me when I'm in doubt. And here's what he showed me. I had let the culture, I had let the things that I'm hearing about the people that I love who have fallen asleep in the arms of the enemy. I had began to believe that the things of the enemy were so subtle and it was such a deep trap that those I love cannot come out. And he began to say, you're praying, but you don't believe. I was like, yes, I do, or I wouldn't pray. Why do I tell him what he knows? But I did it. I was like, but why? I defended myself, and he wasn't accusing me, just pointing it out. I was like, God, why would I pray? He goes, no, because the way you're praying is that you don't believe it'll ever happen. But you want to be a good Christian and pray for him. And I don't need you to be a good Christian, Gay. I'm all you'll ever need. What I need you to do is pray the prayer of faith and call them back from the depths of hell and say this thing will not prevail over my family, over those I love, over Christian Center of Fort Worth and everybody in it. And it will not. Can you say it will not? Amen. So here's some scriptures for when you need to break the glass. Y'all know what that means? You've been at a hotel and they'll say, in case of emergency, break this glass. Here's you some break the glass scriptures. Psalm 4:1. Luke 18:1. Hebrews 4:14, and I'm just going to say all of Psalm 37. It's good. And here's the thing. There's still some things that I'm having to say to him, help my unbelief. But I'm asking you in this room, who's going to stand up with me and stand up and say, I will not buy into the lies of the enemy. I'm making a stand, and I will pray, and I will believe, and I will expect a miracle. Yes. Prayer is the world's greatest wireless connection. But I want to tell you, the only reason we'd not pray is if our confidence lies somewhere else other than Jesus. That's the only reason you won't pray. If you really think you're going to be fine at the end of the day and you don't need to pray, there you go. And that's Mark 11:23. So here's what I want to do tonight. We're going to have the opportunity to pray. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't save somebody else. You can't. You can make every excuse for them, and you can stroke them, or you can scold them. You can do it however you want to do it. But you're not going to lead anybody else to wholeness unless you release them to Jesus. And that starts with us. I'm the first one prayer needs to change. And I'm telling you, we need to be praying at all times. How can we do that, Gay? Have you ever just been doing something, all of a sudden you go, how did I get here? Did I even do that? That's because you're so in the spirit at that point. You're just, your flesh is just knowing what to do, but the Spirit of God is just taking over. And I want to tell you, He wants to take over. And when you're in the middle of something and you're mad, you can say, God, I am so mad right now. I am so angry. And I do not want this thing to enter into my heart. I'm asking you right now to take it. All you need to do is just shake your head. They don't know what you're saying. They don't know what you're doing. They just think, ooh, they mad. They hot. It doesn't matter. I'm going to pray. And this, I'm telling you, I'm begging you, but I'm so sincere tonight. When somebody, and it's already been said during the testimonies, when somebody says to you, you know, I'm hurting, pray for me. Stop right then, grab their hands, and pray for them. Don't wait, because you'll forget later. The enemy will be sure you forget. You're on your way home. Your tank's low on gas. You get gas. You go in there and you remember you need milk. You go get milk. You see your neighbor. Come hello, shake howdy. You go home and you think, man, it's already 10 o'clock. I'd have got to get in bed. And there you go. But I'm telling you, when somebody says they need prayer, pray for them. When you see somebody that's upset, and you hadn't even been doing this, start doing it now. You go to them and you say, hey, would it be okay if I prayed with you now? Could I just pray over that? All they can do is say no. You worried they're going to call you holy? You're worried they're going to start waiting for you to, you know, do everything right? Who cares if I do everything right or not? Critical people do. Jesus didn't. He made provision for my weakness. Your real friends will too. And I want to tell you something. There's no excuses on this, guys. You've already heard it from these testimonies. We can just simply pray by saying, God, oh God, help me. And if you keep hearing a hate thing to go ahead and quip off to somebody, and you just say, okay, and do that, you've just defeated the enemy and taken that out of your spirit because he sees he can't have you. So tonight we're going to come down. We're going to form another circle right here. Let's go to the pew behind Christina, Red, Jasmine. Let's go to that pew. Start there. We'll come around to here. And we're just going to implement prayer tonight. And it's okay with me if you guys want to turn on music so everybody can come down and join in. Okay, come on down, Angelo. Come on down, Daniel. You're okay. We will not hurt you, Daniel. Now what I want you to do, I want you to switch places with someone. Just go ahead. Switch place. Switch places with somebody. Y'all are getting comfortable. We're going to shake it up. Yes, we're going to shake it up. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the next few minutes and we're just going to pray. Okay? And then I'm going to need you to go and get your children and do what you need to do because I know the storm's coming. Going to be wise. All right? Let's release them from their duties back there. But today, I'm going to expect a miracle. I need a miracle. We're going to pray. Will you pray for the person on your right and on your left?